How to Speak Mermaid: A Study of the Soul-to-Soul and Body-to-Body Communication Among Mermaid Women. By William R. Mistel. Preface. Perhaps the best way to learn a foreign language is to live with native speakers. If you live with them long enough, you can learn to speak as they speak and act like you are one of them. Learning to speak mermaid is something nearly every human being can learn to do. Mermaids, mermen are not mammals and they are not fish. They are spirits that exist on the astral plane and that have very close ties to water in nature. Sometimes they incarnate in the form of human beings. Yet previously when they have done so in history, they have always carefully disguised their presence among us. What is a mermaid woman? For about 80% of them, 1. They like to be around large bodies of water. Some draw energy from water the way we draw energy from breathing. 2. They are empathic such that they feel what others feel. When their aura passes through other people, they sense the other person's emotional life as if it is their own. 3. Their empathy is so extreme that as they grow up they discover they have never met anyone like themselves. And so they almost all consider that they are not like other human beings. Though what they are is often not clear to them, many still do not use ideas or labels to define what or who they are. Feeling itself is a way of being. Thinking thoughts is not a primary or even useful state of awareness for them. I have only met one who is actually willing to assert and maintain that a specific idea she has in her head is right. And I only saw her do that once. Put simply, speaking mermaid is not about learning the words and grammar of a written or spoken language. It is not even about having ideas, concepts, or some sort of understanding in your head. It has nothing at all to do with metaphysics, theology, or beliefs. There are no ideals about love that are present. Speaking mermaid is a way of perceiving. Mermaids perceive and feel love as energy. Consequently, they do not have to believe in it, try to comprehend it, or express it by complying with a morality that is taught to them from outside. 4. In almost every case, they will say they exist to love. And they never lose their innocence. They cannot stop giving all of themselves to others. At the same time, they do learn that with human beings you have to conceal your natural desires to give, in part because others will misunderstand or try to abuse them. Introduction. The five elements of human nature. Mermaids embody the part of human nature that has been hidden from us. By learning the language of mermaids, we encounter for the first time different kinds of love the human race has never imagined. In some traditions, human nature is composed of five elements: earth, air, fire, water, and akasha. The air element heightens artistic sensitivity and mental clarity. The fire element enhances willpower, courage, and enthusiasm. The earth element keeps us practical, down to earth, and it motivates us to build things of value that endure. The water element enhances feeling and love. And the fifth element of akasha oversees the development and balance between the other four. In human civilization and history, we already know fire, air, and earth. We have individuals like General Patton who look around in life and ask themselves, what is the one problem no one else can solve? And then they place themselves in a position where the power they acquire can solve those problems. And we have men like Westinghouse, Edison, Oppenheimer, and Nobel who offer mankind new discoveries and applications of fire and electricity. These individuals act as if they are fire spirits in human form. Fire, will, and power are very well known to human beings. Fire is a part of everything we do. Electricity is one of the cornerstones of our civilization. We also know the air element. We have Shakespeare, Mozart, Sir Isaac Newton, Stephen Hawking, and others in human history. They possess a detachment, artistic sensitivity, and also clarity of mind that enables them to study life, not for the sake of power, but for beauty, art, and understanding. And we have the earth element. We have men like Warren Buffett that build empires because they enjoy work and making things of value that endure. These individuals involve themselves with the more material side of life. They often investigate geology, DNA, chemistry, and ways to take natural processes and perfect them. But we are missing individuals who embody the primal force of the water element. These individuals would not be known for their power, their detachment and clarity of mind, or for the way they like to build and leave a legacy behind. Instead, these women would be extremely empathic and pure in love. If you placed just one of them at a negotiating table where Arabs and Israelis were trying to fashion a peace treaty, she could dissolve the hostility and attachment to the past of those present and inspire them to create peace. If you took just one of these women and placed her on the UN Security Council, no one would be able to lie anymore. She could read everyone's mind, and not only that, she could relive the exact memories of those present as if those memories were her own. And if you put her on the board of directors of Monsanto, BP, or Tokyo Electric, she would hold her own conference meetings at night with the board members and CEO while they all slept and dreamed. And when they awoke in the morning, they would sometimes be in a cold sweat. Because she would have showed them in graphic living detail the future horrors that result from the choices they are making. And they would remember the words she spoke to them while they slept. But you see, such women have never appeared openly in human history. They have had to always disguise themselves in order to survive among us. And until now, it is almost certain that the divine world has considered the human race too immature to know about their presence lest we end up abusing them. But this has changed because the world is passing through a critical stage. In learning to speak mermaid, we are going to acquire the missing piece in the puzzle of what it is to be a human being. We are going to encounter a love that will vanquish the isolation and loneliness that has haunted the human soul down through the many ages and the ends of time. Chapter 1: How to Speak Mermaid. You will notice, of course, three things when she sits beside you on a beach. Your two oars flow together as one stream. The waters are cool, soothing, releasing, and unbearably sweet, and the masculine is here also. She draws your energy into herself as if the northern lights have come down, filling her body with a quiet, electrical luminescence. Though your energy inside of her is gentle, it burns with a wild and furious purity, and there is this mystery. You, the woman, and the sea are within each other equally. There are no boundaries marking where one begins and the other ends, and the spell of oneness is so complete. The sea uses the two of you to celebrate its innermost serenity and peace. In this trance-like beauty, your mind becomes the sky and your soul a love encircling the earth. What is it to speak mermaid? You sense a vast field of energy like a sea of water that surrounds you. It is tangible and flowing like water itself. And this energy field has the quality of love. It is nurturing, receptive, renewing, healing, releasing tension, and making things whole. It shelters, inspires, and gives life. You sense that you are united to this energy field of love. It flows into and through you to others or whatever is around you. If you focus on another person near or far, you can flow this healing and loving energy through that person also. Put simply, the mermaid language is a way of perceiving. A mermaid woman senses she is part of a sea of love and that this love is endlessly flowing through her to others around her. This is not something added to her aura. This immersion in love and offering it to others is her very essence. This sense of giving is so strong that a mermaid cannot stop giving love. To stop loving would be like a human being stopping breathing. If you stop breathing, you would in a short time no longer be alive. If you can somehow connect to this sea of love so that it is always flowing through you to others, then you speak the language of the mermaids. When you are with one of them, there is an automatic, subliminal and real emotional force joining the two of you together. What is within one person is also within the other. If you can feel as mermaids feel, then you are one of them. Ocean of love exercise. You will know when water overflows from inside of you, there is no end to your giving. Imagine that you are in the center of an ocean of water. This ocean extends in all directions around you. You sense the fluidity, flowing, wet, and cold sensations of a blue-green sea. Next, change the physical sensations of a sea of water into feelings into a sea of nurturing love. The watery sensations become the feelings of supporting, animating, sheltering, healing, renewing, and inspiring all living beings. In other words, physical sensations are changing into qualities of feelings. To understand this better, try this exercise. Take one hand and grasp the wrist of your other hand. Notice the physical sensations, warmth, pressure, and tactile details of touch. Briefly explore these sensations in various ways. For example, imagine you are holding the wrist of someone who is off balance. You are steadying the other. In this case, there is a stronger grasp ready to exert more strength if that is needed. Or, imagine you are detaining someone like a child who wants to run into the street where there is traffic. Here the hold is more forceful and commanding. Now then, in contrast to the above, imagine you are placing only a feeling into this touch. This feeling is neither forceful nor assertive. It is not trying to accomplish anything physical at all. The feelings, I love you with all of my heart. Take a few moments and imagine you have clasped the wrist of someone you love, via child, a lover, or a caregiver. It may help to recall an experience when you actually did this. Do not think. Just feel. You may now notice, for example, a different sensation of warmth. The energy in your touch goes completely through the other wrist. There is a sense of holding, uniting, and bonding. It is almost like the hand feels it has become one with the part of the other arm it is holding. In a similar way, the physical sensations of water change into feelings of love. This love flows into, unites, and becomes part of whatever it touches. Now, visualize another person in front of you, someone with whom you are familiar. Visualize the person's body as being empty inside. Next, imagine that as the sea of love you begin to flow through this person. You move through the other from head to feet as if he is open inside and you are a stream of watery love. As you do so, sense everything within this person. Your cool, flowing water heals, purifies, harmonizes, and nourishes. Pain and tension dissolve. Frustration and unhappiness disappear. The individual feels whole, complete, happy, and serene. In effect, you are uniting the individual with this sea of all-embracing love. This exercise neither exhausts you nor does it overwhelm you with the other person's emotions of distress. You continue to identify yourself with a vast sea of watery love as you flow through the person. You are both one with the other and also detached at the same time. I taught this exercise to one woman in several minutes. When she practiced it on her boyfriend, she discovered she could produce physical sensations in his body even though neither of them were psychic or worked with energy meditations. Young women in particular have an innate ability to succeed with this exercise. When I taught this simple meditation to a mermaid woman, she said to me, "I already do this every day with my boyfriend. I just never put it into words the way you do." The difference between doing the exercise and a mermaid woman's aura is that the mermaid woman does this exercise automatically. There is no effort to it and no intellectual decision about when and where to extend herself. She has an inner union with nature, and her connection to nature continuously provides her with love and energy to give to others. Chapter 2, Astral Immortality. When one of the four elements saw earth, air, fire, water becomes so much a part of you that the energy in your aura has the same vibration as one of these elements in nature, you have attained astral immortality at any age in this life or in any future incarnation. Your astral body remains forever new, fresh, life-giving, and pure. For this woman, it is like the stillness of the sun blazing in clear ice. The present moment shines brighter and more full of beauty than anything else the mind can think of or contemplate in life. Letters to Mermaid's question: is not the astral plane lower? Response: the astral body is in the shape of the physical body but is made of a subtler substance. The astral body expresses our feelings and emotions. It is receptive and impressionable. It gives a sense of being connected to others. It enables us to respond with appreciation and sensitivity to the specific situations that we enter. Our astral body in combination with sensory impressions enables us to feel fully alive. The astral plane surrounds and penetrates our physical world. Sometimes referred to as the other side, the world beyond, or the next world, the astral plane pertains to the realm of the soul. Mermaids and many other conscious entities exist on the astral plane. Sometimes we enter this realm in our dreams. The astral plane often presents itself to us as being a dream-like recreation of the situations, sensations, and feelings we encounter in the real world. For many spiritual traditions, contact with the astral planet realm of feeling and emotions appears to be an obstacle or the enemy. Religion and society consider it dubious at best when individuals become distracted or fascinated by astral dream-like visions and experiences. At the same time, the astral body mediates between the mind and the physical body. If you are upset or angry, do not drive a car. Your perception of the road and your ability to make snap decisions are greatly impaired. Strong emotions actually interfere with an individual's ability to think. And the perceptions of the five senses are no longer as clear. But the astral plane and emotional life of the individual are not just a realm of illusion, distraction, and selfish desires. It is also the realm of inspiration and motivation that moves people to action and inspires them to put forth their best efforts. A coach talking to his team during halftime or a commander speaking to his troops before a battle, these men do not rely on ideas of the mental plane and they no longer have time to engage in physical training. What they do is transmit to those under their authority their own sense of fearlessness, courage, conviction, and the ability to give all of oneself without holding back to what one loves. What they are communicating is pure astral energy. It is force of emotion. Use it well and in a positive manner and you not only connect easily to others. You can transform the world. The original nature of the astral plane is revealed through refining and combining one or more of the five elements so as to attain astral immortality. Accomplish this and your very presence offers to others direct experience with electrifying courage, endless wonder and curiosity, down to earth and practical perseverance, and pure love. Mermaids are united to nature at the core of their being. In effect, mermaids are motivated to love because they never exist without a sense of wonder, beauty, ecstasy, bliss, love, peace, and happiness. They can love because love is endlessly overflowing through themselves like streams of living water. Water in nature for mermaids is not just a lake, a stream, a waterfall, or an ocean. Water in nature has an inner vibration that embodies the essence of love. The human race as of yet does not sense the energy underlying the element of water in nature. A mermaid is not encumbered by a human ego. She is not dependent, needy, worrying, defensive, cautious, or wounded. She may of course acquire these emotions growing up as a young woman, but they are not a part of the nature of who she is. What is she? She is an immortal being. Her emotional life is not subject to deterioration but rather is forever new. She is continually young and she never loses her innocence. She never stops giving of herself regardless of how much she may have been abused or hurt in the past. How do you acquire astral immortality like a mermaid? Again, the mermaid perceives herself to be joined to the energies underlying nature. Her personal identity, then, is not fragile and vulnerable. She is united to an infinite sea of love that encompasses the planet. This awareness has nothing to do with human religions or theologies. Nature is embedded in her very core and so she does not rely on a need to think with concepts or use beliefs. She has direct perception of these things. When you are in the presence of a mermaid woman, you are in the presence of an immortal spirit from the astral plane who embodies the vibrations of love. The essence of her realm within nature is the ecstasy of bliss, happiness, and love. It is small wonder that these women have had to disguise themselves when they live among us. Their very existence shatters all human systems of cognition and philosophy and offers a peace and hope the great mystics of the earth have rarely tasted. Chapter 3, Finding Nature at the Core of Your Being. Letters to Would-Be Merman. Question, can you say something about those of us who love, but are not mermaids? I'm jealous sometimes. Why do I go through so many things mermaids do, yet I am obviously not a merman? Response. Me too. I mean that. If I do not sit down and write poems to the sea, she looks at me like I prefer deserts, sand, dry stream beds, and arid wastelands. For the Hopi Indians and for the Unitarians, in order to become one of them, you simply do what they do, hang out with them long enough and act like you are one of them. And then you are. If you perceive like a mermaid, think like a mermaid, feel like a mermaid, and have the love of a mermaid, then you are a mermaid or a merman. All realms are in fact like that. In the first chapter, speaking mermaid comes down to sensing that you are surrounded by a sea of love and that this love continuously flows through you to those around you. To perceive like a mermaid, sense the energy that underlies water in nature. For example, take a small waterfall falling into a mountain pool. Observe or imagine the purely physical sensory impressions. There is the sound of the water falling and splashing. There are the drops of water falling through the air, the bubbly spray, and waves and ripples on the pool's surface. There is the pool itself with its diameter and depths where the water moves and turns, and then there is the stream as the water flows on. Before us we can sense the changes in water temperature. There is oxygen entering the water. And the water is continuously adapting itself to whatever environment it enters. It flows and moves without any attachment to what it was in the previous moment. If you imagine you are this water, that its flexibility, receptivity, and responsiveness too is part of yourself, then you also acquire a mermaid's awareness of what it is to be joined to nature from within yourself. It is to be constantly letting go and receptive, each moment flowing and unfolding in a new way. There is then self-renewal, self-purification, and a feeling of being alive, because there is nothing more receptive and aware of what is happening in each moment than are you. This emotional life is vivacious and totally engaging, sparkling in response to whatever affects it. And yet it also strives for oneness. It instantly moves to surround it and to unite, to enter, and to bring to life anything near to it. What is the trick then to switching off the human ego long enough to learn to perceive the energy underlying nature that causes mermaids to attain astral immortality? When you are in nature, observe nature without referring back to your human identity. Put aside your awareness of yourself and simply perceive what is in front of you. Let go and just be within the energy of nature you sense, so that it becomes as familiar and a part of you as your ordinary, daily routines you often follow. After a while you will be able to do what every mermaid woman can do spontaneously. When she is out in nature and relaxes, her human identity vanishes and she, the human being, is no longer present. What is before you then when you look at her or feel her aura in that moment is the vibration of nature itself, unencumbered and unattached to a human identity. It may seem like a long journey, but it is not. The mermaids are simply aware of beauty and receptive and reflective enough in their awareness that the beauty they perceive is united to them at the core of their being. I watch the wave rolling, forming a crest, breaking, foam and spray falling, the water rising upon the sand and the undertow drawing back again. I slow my breath to match the rising crest, the surging white chaos, and the sinking down in the depths my heartbeat and the sea now in synchronicity. It is hard to tell where my body ends and the sea begins. Chapter 4, The Kundalini Effect. Beware of mermaid electricity. It is love of most unusual intensity. Beware of mermaid electricity. It is hunger and power, love and freedom of the open sea. Beware of mermaid electricity. It is ecstasy flooding your body like a tsunami. Beware of mermaid electricity. No human being can produce this feeling. The bliss when you kiss her lips, who can long endure? She is lightning, thunder, the depths and winds of the seas, a woman dancing in ecstasy. Beware of mermaid electricity. Her eyes gratifies your deepest needs. Beware of mermaid electricity. The spray of a billion waves celebrates its beauty. Beware of mermaid electricity. It is divine fire crossing all boundaries. Beware of mermaid electricity. It binds the sky and the sea. All opposites unite in its beauty. The bliss when you kiss her lips, who can long endure? She is lightning, thunder, the depths and winds of the seas, a woman dancing in ecstasy, a woman dancing in ecstasy. Kundalini is a primal life force lying dormant at the base of the spine. It is considered a sacred energy that takes the form of a serpent and also the form of the goddess Kundalini. When awakened and skillfully directed, it rises through the spine and unites with its opposite Shiva or transcendent awareness at the top of the head. As it ascends through the body and passes through various energy centers called chakras, the entire spectrum of human life involving physical sensations, instinctual desires, and emotions and feelings are activated, experienced, and then left behind as it continues moving upward to its final destination. But if misdirected or prematurely awakened, it can turn into a blind, insatiably hungry and devouring energy craving sensory and emotional gratification. In other words, it is ravenously hungry to experience life in any form available to it. Westerners who are not practicing Kundalini Yoga or some other form of intense body work that releases these primal energies usually do not encounter Kundalini side effects. But interactions with mermaid women can activate this primal energy. Mermaid women embody a primordial watery energy that is not part of human civilization but something from another realm of experience altogether. As this watery energy passes through an individual's aura, it saturates the individual's nervous system. When a man is with a mermaid woman, he may feel twice if not five times more alive than he feels otherwise. By contrast, when he leaves her presence, he may feel half dead though he has usually returned to his normal state. These withdrawal symptoms are not hard to understand. Withdrawal symptoms from drugs are well known. But consider other possibilities. An individual may play intense sports in high school or college. When he stops playing because he is no longer in school, his nervous system still longs for the adrenaline rush and social interactions and status the sport provided. It may take years for him to adjust to the absence of that external stimulation. A mermaid woman can simulate the intensity of sport activities because in her presence she is responding to you as if each moment is completely new. Watch some of these women and you will notice their range of emotional responses to different people and situations is nearly infinite. There is also a cultural shock that sometimes occurs by living in a foreign country. If you live out in the jungle or where there are no large cities with modern conveniences and you return to a large city, you may have difficulty at first adjusting. You now have warm water, electrical, gas, water utilities, and your cell phone and internet connections work again. But the quiet, the slower pace of the country, and the presence of nature everywhere are missing. You have changed from a society that is close to nature to a society in which nature is only found in parks or nature preserves. Being with a mermaid woman is like being out in nature far from human civilization. You feel refreshed and free from the worries of society just by being with her. Leave her and you are again within a social world that may seem overly predictable and artificial. And there are the withdrawal symptoms that occur when romantic relationships end. Those who fall in love often will say things like, "My life was not in focus until I met you. You are the reason I exist. I never felt fully alive until I met you. I feel like we have always known each other. I can't imagine living my life without you. You are the part of myself that has always been missing," etc. When such a relationship ends, it is like part of you has vanished. Your emotions are in withdrawal. You feel strangely vulnerable and wounded. The excitement and feeling of life being new and full of wonder and beauty are gone. Typically, with such loss, it is not uncommon to go through the five stages of grief: denial, anger, negotiation, depression, and finally acceptance. A mermaid woman can easily create the feelings of a heightened state of romantic love even though this may not be her intent. It is not uncommon for her to meet someone and even in this brief, first encounter the man feels she is now closer to him than anyone he has met before. She treated him as if they were lovers. But if he had watched her more carefully he would have noticed she treats everyone she meets as if they are lifelong friends. She holds nothing back when she gives of herself and this is easily misinterpreted. The point is that the symptoms of withdrawal when a relationship to a mermaid woman ends can be far stronger than in a romantic relationship. In this case, there is a chance that the primal energy of Kundalini has been activated. This means that the individual may have to deal with more serious side effects. Many women will run into these problems from time to time. A man or another woman stalks her or becomes abusive, overly possessive, excessively jealous, controlling, etc. For mermaid women, these problems are often far worse. The man is not just feeling loss, hurt, abandoned, etc. There is a blind, primal power activated within him that seeks to take control of his brain, his memory, and his skills as it tries to draw into itself the life it feels it has been denied. If this obsessed individual was a skilled yogi, he could sit down and meditate. He could then calm the primal energy within himself so it falls asleep and becomes calm. Or he could redirect it so it returns to its upward journey toward the top of the head, where it unites with its divine consort Shiva, who is one with all things without in any way being attached to anything. But such meditation skills are not acquired during conflict and emotional upheaval. Examples: the man cried every day for a month after breaking up with one woman. A different man says he will never have another woman in his life after her, and 10 years later he still hasn't had another woman. The mermaid woman says every male or female friend she has ever had at some point suffers some sort of anxiety attack. The friends become extremely possessive, jealous, and place all sorts of irrational demands on her. One woman says she has a stalker from every country in Europe. She also says she can't recall how many times men have told her that she is the reason he exists, and these are not even people she feels connected to. One woman says that 4 different men have told her that they would kill themselves if they could not have her. For another, when guys start to break up with her, they begin treating her as if she is not one but every conceivable kind of woman wrapped into one. One moment he speaks to her as if she is his secretary, his mentor, his therapist, his priest, his sister, then a goddess, then his mother, then his one and only soulmate, his twin flame, his true love, and all of these alternate unpredictably with his treating her like a tramp, a doormat, a worthless slut, a treacherous harpy, etc. You get the idea. The guy is running, seemingly at random, through every possible response he could ever have with any woman as a way to try to either hurt her or to win her back. Controlling men will engage in these behaviors, but rarely with this degree of variation. Men complete strangers that she meets in some casual social situation email her the next day telling her they cannot live without her and that they want to get married right away and start a family. Driving down the freeway in Los Angeles, strangers will throw a piece of paper with their phone number on it through her car window. Even professionals who are models of stability and reason in their personal and public lives will demonstrate these kundalini effects. Something different is going on with mermaid women in terms of their effects on men and women. Another unusual kind of withdrawal symptom is the vampire effect. This occurs when a psychic center in the body is not flowing energy outward but has reversed its flow. It is drawing energy inward because it is damaged and leaking life force. The emotions and vitality in that area of the body are running on empty. What has happened is that the individual has charged his aura with the magnetism of the mermaid woman. For him, being around her has been like having an aquifer within himself that endlessly overflows with love. But now this external source of energy flow has ended. Again, she may act like a cute, young, vivacious girl regardless of her actual age. But actually the man has been in the presence of an immortal spirit united to the waters of the earth. If a person's mind cannot conceive of this, his body will still demand he somehow restore the surplus amount of energy she was providing him. What happens then in some cases is that the individual's nervous system seeks to reproduce the mermaid woman's level of giving. But without the actual mermaid woman being present, he may unconsciously try to steal the energy of anyone he is near. In effect, he has become an energy vampire who is doing the exact opposite of what a mermaid woman does without being united to the boundless sea of love that she has to draw on. He takes rather than gives. He has experienced a constant flow of vitality and love from her to him. Now he seeks to create that flow from anyone he meets, taking their energy when they are not offering it. And he is completely unaware he is doing so. We notice this sort of thing occurring in innocuous ways when an individual is emotionally upset and ends up demanding a lot of time and attention from his friends. You want to help out by listening and being supportive. The energy vampire may appear to be similar. He is upset, confused, disoriented, moment by moment changing back and forth from elation in recalling his experiences to acute depression in realizing his situation. The difference is that the emotional vampire is unconsciously attaching his aura to you in an attempt to recharge himself. He has become accustomed to having an external source of stimulation that allows him to feel both larger than life and possess a deep feeling of well-being. But now he blindly craves your support and your peace to fill in for what is missing. Put simply, you sometimes have to back off or shield yourself from these individuals because they have temporarily become skilled at absorbing others' energy. Letters to Mermaid Women Question. Since you cite so many examples of men falling quickly in love with mermaid women, are the men falling in love or are they thinking they have fallen in love because of the feeling of oneness that comes from her aura flowing through them? Response. The problem is that if you enter the realm of mermaids on the astral plane, the normal greeting is let's touch oars and become one with each other. If it were two fish in an aquarium and the water in the aquarium was itself loving, nurturing, and giving without end, then when two fish came up to each other being saturated with that loving vibration, they would perceive each other as also being a part of love, the same love. And they would automatically sense that they were one with each other even though they might be different species. So take the mermaid out of her realm and put her in a woman's body in our world and she still carries in her aura the vibration of the astral realm of mermaids with its love, nurturing, and giving. So automatically her aura acts as if she is one with anyone she is near. It is just the nature of her vibration, not personal as much as the vibration of the entire mermaid realm, and that realm exists within the energy underlying water in nature. Human beings, by contrast, are always short on love. They never have or get enough. Christ prophesies that out of their bellies shall flow streams of living water, but this does not occur on earth among human beings. And certainly belief or faith of any kind will not reproduce that energy of love vibration within a human being. Faith lacks the creative power of love. So human beings fall in love as a mode of bonding with another. Romance, even at its very best, although absolutely delightful, is also inherently jealous, possessive, and has passed the critical mass of being extremely vulnerable and wounded if the love is not reciprocated. This is because human beings are trying to make love happen by using the chemistry and soul energy solely of what exists within the two individuals. The mermaids, by contrast, are united to an entire realm of boundless love, so for them they do not run dry or run on empty. Intimacy will always reach its height when two give equally to each other. But the mermaid just does not stop giving. Like breath itself, which humans constantly need in order to be alive, she has to love to be a mermaid. For her, the water element is inherently nurturing, loving, and giving. She is, after all, of nature. So problem number one if you join two separate realms, human and mermaid, is that exposure to mermaid love or auras is inherently destructive to the human ego. To feel her energy inside yourself is to feel a love human beings know nothing about. It is a part of nature that human beings never perceive. The church would say in ancient times that the realm of fairy exists to enchant and then to destroy mankind. But the church is wrong. The darkness is within the human soul that cannot behold beauty so free and giving without trying to turn it into a support for the male ego and the productive work of society. And so in a conversation on a flight out of LA with a professional photographer who did one of Madonna's music videos, he says to me, "What you are describing are sirens who call out to sailors with songs that cause their destruction." "No," I reply. "The mermaids who were singing for Odysseus and others at that location were merely singing with such innocence and unbearable sweet love that is perfectly natural to them that the sailors lost their bearing and failed to attend to helm and depth as they sailed toward them. The fault was not in the mermaids who you label sirens, but in the human beings who know not how to give back even a small part of what they are being given." On a flight from Honolulu to Los Angeles, the man next to me told me his tale of woe. He met a mermaid woman, traveled with her, fallen in love with her, and then discovered she is completely free of human needs. This was the first time I had listened in depth to a man's point of view in regard to these women. I could easily sense the aura of the woman he was speaking about. I wrote the song below to describe her. Some call me a sea goddess, others call me a sea demon, neither is right or wrong. I am the sea in the form of a woman. I warn men from the beginning that I am a heartbreaker, but they do not pay heed, they do not believe, yet they quickly lose all control. Ill meet your thirst and your craving, I am forever loving, but who can endure my embrace late at night when at dawn I am no man's possession? My mystery is that there are two of me, a young girl who was once quite needy, but deeper inside I must confide I am the sea, wild and free. There is one final secret you must know to understand my beauty, the passion I need, the fire I crave is lightning, the sea striking. Some call me a sea goddess, others call me a sea demon, neither is right or wrong, I am the sea in the form of a woman. Conclusion: what is the remedy for the overstimulated or misdirected kundalini? Kundalini often involves a huge amount of nervous energy. You need some sort of activity to redirect this energy until your conscious mind is again functioning normally. One Swami told a yoga student to go climb a mountain so the energy in his body could have the time it needed to settle down. Other possibilities involve relaxing, reducing the stress in your life, for example, by spending time in nature. Attend parties with friends, etc. The idea is to return to your normal life as fast as you can. Another side to this involves recapturing projection. Projection occurs when the individual sees in another person what is actually hidden within oneself. A person meets a kind and loving woman. But instead of returning the kindness and love, he in effect wants her to play the role of his mother. He uses the relationship with the woman to avoid having to explore the nurturing side of his own personality. In a sense, this entire book is about recapturing projection. You find nature in yourself. You find a sea of love within yourself. You find a mermaid, merman inside yourself. You learn to flow like water, to be totally in the moment, alive and responsive to all its possibilities, and to feel that wonder and happiness are always present. Except the human race is not yet aware of the bliss, ecstasy and love of the mermaid realm, so it has not yet had a chance to abuse this realm. The mermaids do become lovers, but there is another purpose behind why they have entered our world. They are here as our teachers, teaching us about the love that underlies nature. With this love within ourselves, we can finally discover what it is to be fully human. Tied to the mast, his sailor's ears filled with wax to get the most out of his quest, Odysseus puts himself in the abyss separating two realms. Were the sirens out to kill? Can a human being actually imagine a mermaid is like themselves? But what of negative and evil mermaids? She is of nature. But what of the riptide, the undertow, the storm surge, the whirlpool, the tsunami, the rogue wave? The choppy seas, the thunderstorm, lion squalls, hurricanes, and the time I fell into the water and nearly drowned. Homer says the gods loved Odysseus because he was clever. He put on a great show, entertainment worthy of Olympus. That is, he was not only intelligent, he was brave and bold. Rather than wait or procrastinate, he invented solutions. He did not whine and complain, saying, "Gee, the Cyclops wants to eat me," or, "Why won't Neptune leave me alone?" A true adventurer, Odysseus sought answers from first-hand experience. I too speak from experience. Their love has no boundaries or limitations. It gives all of itself in every moment. It unifies your diversity. It unites with your depths. I sympathize with Odysseus. The need to be tied to the mast, remaining a human being when the love is so right, is a most difficult choice. Such bliss is hard to resist. Chapter 5, 3 Requirements for a Relationship with a Mermaid Woman. 3 Requirements for Having a Relationship with a Mermaid Woman. 1. The man needs to acquire the skill of putting aside his ego in any moment and enter a meditation so he feels one with the ocean. It's a meditation thing, just become aware of the sea as if nothing else exists in your consciousness, without referring back to your human identity. This enables you to connect to the mermaid woman on her own terms. After all, If you just feel what it is like to be in her presence, you will often sense that you are out in nature and surrounded by the open ocean. Take nothing for granted. Learn from her all you can. I realize that most men lack the flexibility and imagination to practice a water meditation. Their ego says to them with all the force of history, she is something to take, to possess, and to make a part of my life, so I am then stronger and feel more complete by owning her. But if you are dealing with a spirit of nature in a woman's body, it helps to show respect for the power that is in front of you. Mermaid women are like weapons-grade uranium, except they are not a power of destruction but a power of peace that is able to dissolve negativity. You may feel you can abuse them and push them all over the place with your demands. They seem passive at times because of their remarkable receptivity. But at some point you will notice it is not just a young woman who is with you. There is a sense of the open ocean about her where a billion years of time has no meaning. Magellan, Captain Cook, Columbus, Sir Francis Drake, they sailed the seas, but the seas did not appear within their dreams. All the same, these explorers respected the power of nature they were confronting. These women, by contrast, will appear within your dreams. They will get inside of you and act to become one with you, and so it is wise to respect the power that is within them. 2. When you are with the mermaid woman at least once a day, just feel her energy and sense the way she feels your energy. In this way, the two of you can flow in and through each other as energy to energy and as two streams flow together to become one river. This is her natural way of connecting everything that she is flows into those around her. Learn to respond in kind if you wish to know her. 3. Understand that she is a part of nature, and as such she does not need you in the sense that men so commonly ask, how can I have a relationship to a woman if she does not need me? You can have a relationship to her by embodying in yourself her own empathy by feeling what she feels. Every lover desires another to feel what she feels. And what does she feel? She feels the life in everyone around her and in everyone she meets. And she feels protective and nurturing toward that life. As we have seen in Chapter 1, she feels that a sea of love surrounds her and that this sea of love is continuously flowing through her to others. She has a direct body-to-body and heart-to-heart connection to others that exists totally independent of thoughts, ideas, thinking, intellectual actions, or beliefs of any kind. She perceives love and so does not make silly demands on others to demonstrate their love. Embody part of the mermaid realm in yourself, and then you can connect as easily to her as she connects to one of her own kind. This is, after all, why they are here among us, how we might make their love our own. The knight and the mermaid, it was a dark time. He was a knight who fought for the light without knowing if his acts were wrong or right. He met a mermaid one day along the shore by a lake, but to grasp his response, these things you should understand, being both battle-hardened and widely traveled, he had the skill of a merchant. He could tell how much someone wanted something by the way they touched an item. He could read in an author's face mistakes they had made, if wonder had touched them, and if these things were small or great. He could tell by an author's breath and the movement of their chest whether they had lived in peace or suffered distress. He could tell by gazing into an author's eyes how well they had lived their life, as if there was waste or if they had been guided by someone who was wise. He could tell by listening to an author's voice, even hearing only one or two words spoken aloud, if their lives were lived with honor or if their lives were shaped by a wrong choice. So when he met the mermaid in the form of a woman, he noticed right away what most others would have missed: she's like water, changing her form and shaping her responses in a new and unique way as each moment unfolds and with each person she is with. Knowing that some opportunities occur only once in a lifetime, the knight seizes the moment and asks her, how do I become what you are? The mermaid says, you do not ask, how do I love you? But instead you ask, how do I become what you are? All other men seek to possess nature, to master it, to control it, and to turn it to a productive end. Only a few of your race have come this far. To open your heart to embrace rather than to take. You must already know the wisdom of nature. A gaze on the sea, contemplating the images, sounds, smells, taste, and touch of water. Then open your heart to feel what is underneath the outer form. Here there is a love that encircles the planet and surrounds every creature that moves upon it. Become this love and then you shall be as I am, one who gives all of oneself in every moment and for whom love is never lost. The knight replies, it is not enough to have the words. The things you speak of are outside of and beyond the reach of the human mind. The mermaid says, this is why you must remain completely alert and perceive without any thoughts intervening, even as you have been doing from the first moment you began speaking to me. The knight asks, can you show me the way? She says, take my hand, and this he does. She goes on, now you feel what is inside my water in human form. To touch me is to feel the winds caressing the waves on and on without end. There is no identity. The beauty of the sea is what I am, the waves running free, the silent depths, every manner of creature, and the purity of receptivity that can find the beauty and wonder of the stars shining within its heart. The waterfall to let go and to fall into the embrace of air, the lake with its mirror-like stillness and the light that shines from its face, the river and the stream that bring to life whatever is near, the mist, the fog, the cloud, the rain. I am forever free, every form I can take, and yet I am always the same. The definition of my very being is seen in the act of giving. If you can look upon nature as you look upon me, if you can in your heart unite with that beauty even as your body can become one with mine, then this I promise you, the two of us will be forever joined. The knight says, now I understand, you are myself in another form. How could I not have seen this before? Love designs each moment of time. As a knight, I now see my task to serve her purposes and to fight on her behalf. Chapter 6, Water on Four Planes. There is an absolute contentment in which the inner self is at peace with the universe. Water in the physical world, I sometimes float in a tide pool. As I relax, my body seems to vanish as my senses extend outward in the water and the surrounding ocean. If you imagine cool water inside and around you, you may also begin to relax and feel release. There is the feeling of floating and of flowing. The water is physically purifying, refreshing, and renewing. In the physical world, we focus on water in its fluidity as being totally responsive, adapting completely to whatever environment it enters, its absorbing and releasing heat, oxygen, and carbon dioxide, its circulating energy, its cleansing and nurturing properties, its solubility, its receptivity to electrical and magnetic charges, its biosphere-friendly nature as ice, liquid, and gas cloud, fog, and mist. Water on the astral plane. Now we imagine water in our astral body filling it so there are only the sensations and feelings of water within us. If you do this, watery sensations of fluidity, flowing, and receptivity to energy produce feelings of peace, contentment, serenity, tranquility, and happiness. Time is gone. You are in an ongoing trance that embodies bliss. In the physical body, we might define bliss as the entire body and nervous system being saturated with a refined pleasure. It is very soothing, to say the least. Bliss in the astral body carries with it the feeling of being loved. A masseuse can give a great physical massage that is very relaxing and refreshing. But to get the feeling of love, she would need somehow to extend her soul, her feeling of caring for you individually as a person and not just a client into the touch. Water in the astral body produces this sense of love saturating every cell in your body. Water on the mental plane. The mental body is the realm of ideas, concepts, analytic thinking, investigations, questions and answers. It is also the clarity of mind that can hold in its gaze many things at once without having to form an opinion. The mental body is more subtle and detached than the astral body. Again, imagine it in the shape of your physical body and that it too has cool water inside and around it. This may produce a sense of stillness. The mind becomes mirror-like, at peace, and very receptive. Water on the spiritual plane. The spiritual body is an intuitive level of awareness that operates independent of thought, feeling, or physical forms, though it may express itself through any of these. It is consciousness free of form identification. On this level, we oversee, balance, harmonize, inspire, and seek to fulfill all purposes of love on earth. It is all-embracing love. One of the divine principles that operate here is the ability to join with and become one with anything for the sake of love. Mermaids are not directly authorized to intervene in human affairs or to reveal themselves to us. Consequently, it is through the power of our spirit, of our sense of what the deepest purposes are in life, that we can initiate contact with them. The divine has always intended that human beings embody the mysteries of love and the magic of water that mermaids possess. In fact, we must learn to do this if we are to ever become fully human, discovering how to live in harmony with nature and to bring into balance the different elements within ourselves. Chapter 7, The Realm of Mermaids. Can human beings ever get it right? They listen not to each other, much less to their own hearts, but I will make it right this night. The mermaid realm, I am in it now. In an instant the outer world dissolves, innocence beyond understanding. They give without ending love that is one, without ego contending here. Breath, the very air, are intoxicating sensuality united with divinity. Touch joins with infinity like the seas of the earth. Feeling reaches round the world. There is dancing and singing, pain and sorrow dispelling the mermaid queens. No mortal can match such beauty. They are the sea taking on the form of human beings here. When a mermaid approaches you, she relives your memories. She sees what is to be. She takes you within a dream and shows you whatever it is you most crave. The thirst and the thirst quenched in the same taste. It could well be that the gods and goddesses in human mythology never discovered this place, because if they had, they would have spoken of love that saturates the planet, finds fulfillment in every moment, and possesses an absolute contentment that feels one with the universe. I place my awareness into the realm of mermaids. It's a vibration you can feel. Mermaids can be seen. And you can listen to their songs and words. The sensations are watery but lighter than water. The energy is vast and continuously flowing. Love is everywhere. It is unbelievable innocent, that is, it is completely open and receptive, new, self-earning, and self-purifying. It never loses its willingness to give all of itself in every moment. That is what I call innocence. And it is healing and tender. It is sweet, kind, and then the sensuality kicks in. The bliss begins running through your nerves, saturating them. Here there are no inhibitions. What is deepest inside of you naturally and without effort flows through what is deepest within another. The exchange of energy is total and continuous. To summarize, the watery energy in the realm of mermaids is intoxicating. Love is ecstasy, totally uninhibited, innocent, and yet wise in erotic arts. The developed mermaids sense every nuance of attraction and understand ways to amplify magnetism. There is singing and dancing. And there is no holding back in the giving, no reservation or hesitation. To become one with you is the acceptable mermaid form of greeting. A knight and a mermaid. The year is 1307. The church, in great treachery and malice, seeks to destroy all of the Knights Templar throughout Europe. A few manage to escape. The knight gazes upon his own body lying next to a small stream in a green field at the edge of a mountain cliff. He turns and looks at a young woman sitting next to him. He says to her, "I am dead and you are an angel." She replies, "You are not dead and I am not an angel." He looks about himself at the hills, the trees, the stream, the forest, the sky and clouds. He says, "Each thing here shines with its own inner light. The colors here are 1,000 times brighter and clearer than they are in my world." "I have heard others say those same words," she replies. "The night, and you, even now, your inner light flows through me even as this stream." "This is a very unusual dream." "It is not a dream," she calmly says. "Knight, it is like you and the stream are the same energy, the same being. And you and I are also the same energy, the same being. Tell me, child of the mysteries, in what world, in what reality does beauty such as this exist? Tell me, so that when I awaken in my body I may make it my life quest to find this place again. To find you again, that we might be even as we are now." "You are a human being," she replies. "I am from a race that by God's grace does not require spoken words in order to express feeling. Does this not need medicine in order to heal? And we do not require passion or compassion in order to love. But you must speak words in order to feel. Speak aloud now what you sense this place to be. Speak, so that when you return to yourself you will know this is not a dream and you will remember everything you have heard and seen. The stream begins where the clouds drift, enfolding the hills in mist moisture so thick the waters runs wild, dancing in the rain like a child. The current, the pulse, the flow. Here are secrets only love knows how to be one with another's soul. Night, will you speak to me again? Will you come to me and guide me? Will you be to me even as you are now, part of my own being? She replies, as the sky is a part of the stream, and the earth, and the valley, as the stream nurtures all things, even so I shall be a part of your soul. Forever free, in love and in beauty, as one stream our lives shall unfold. Sometimes when I come home I take off my shoes, socks, and shirt, put on shorts and sit down in a chair with my feet up and a pillow behind my back, and then effortlessly I slip into a trance. I enter the realm of mermaids, like now I am surrounded by a vast sea of cold, blue-green watery energy. Here love is everywhere, the peace sinks down into me, the happiness is so complete, the innocence so pure. It is as if I have forgotten humanity. A mermaid swims up to me and asks, not with words or thoughts, their communication is directly through feeling, heart to heart, what was it like to have once been a human being? In response I touch her hand and transfer to her a few living, eidetic memories so she experiences exactly what it was like to once be me. She says, how horrible. They have mastered earth, fire, and wind, but the mystery of love never entered them. No wonder they tried so desperately to destroy themselves and the earth as well. She puts her arm around me, resting her head on my shoulder, and says, welcome home. May you never have to suffer like that again. Chapter 8, Mermaid Empathy. I love your eyes, so quiet and peaceful, a place to let go and forget who I am. Until I awaken to the sound of waves breaking on the shore and the scent of the sea, I see the man I was meant to be walking toward me. Your eyes dream him into being. Letters to Mermaids. Question. Is empathy merely the ability to feel what others feel? Response, think of it like this. Your aura extends outward to anything around you like the magnetic field of a magnet. Anyone your aura passes through you sense as if the other's emotional life is your own. These people can feel what you feel. But mermaid empathy has other observable qualities. They sense your future also, the person you are meant to become or who you would be once your conflicts are resolved and you are more whole and complete. Yet they do not just sense it. As they speak to you, it is as if they are in the future looking at you the way you will one day be. This conveys a marvelous sense of reality as they describe you, because they are experiencing your future as being already real. There is no visualization, speculation, theorizing, belief, or faith required. It is as real to them as the present moment. A number of times I did not understand who the mermaid woman was talking to when I was having a conversation with her. And then I realized she is talking to my future self. And once while meditating for a few seconds with a mermaid woman, she changed me briefly into that person I will one day be when I have mastered the water element on earth. If a human being had a mermaid's empathy, he gains her ability to connect directly to anyone on earth, to modulate that individual's aura as if it is his own aura, to dissolve the negativity within the other, to heal, and to sense the other person so well that it is like the other is himself in another form. Empathy is not passive the way human beings imagine it to be. It is the most magical power on earth. And as I often point out, if 30 housewives possessed and used their mermaid empathy, they would be more powerful than all the generals, politicians, and corporate heads. They could virtually end all wars on earth forever. But human women do not know of this feminine power within nature, though it is easy enough to teach those who are interested. Mermaid empathy has been kept hidden from us during the entire history of our civilization. A woman said to me, "How do you know I am a mermaid?" I reached out and touched her aura with my hand, and from what I felt with my clairsentient ability I said, because you are composed of the one element of water. She sent me a voicemail later that day saying that when I touched her aura it had profoundly changed her self-understanding. She felt exactly what I felt when I touched her. She had met another who fully confirmed her true nature. I was practicing mermaid empathy. Mermaid empathy does things like that. Here is who you are, who you were, and who you will one day be. It is not an idea or a vision, but the actual experience. Time for mermaids is not linear. Summary: Mermaid empathy is part of the first chapter, How to Speak Mermaid. You imagine being surrounded by a vast sea and that this sea is love, and then you naturally flow it through anyone near to you. The water is you. And in identifying with the water, you feel anyone who is within this water near to you. Your energy is nurturing, healing, releasing, soothing, fulfilling, and it flows through them. The difference between mermaid empathy and ordinary empathy is illustrated in the following way. Imagine you are another person you know. For about a minute or so, imagine you are in this person's body and speak with his voice. Imagine you use the same body language and gestures. Think the way the other thinks and views the world. At a certain point as you do this, you may get a physical sensation in your own body of what it is like to be this person. Focus on that sensation and try to see if it makes sense to you. Does it tell you something new about the person you may not have previously known? Often when you get a body sense of the other person, this may create on a non-verbal level a sense that you are deeply connected to each other. There is a change in both individuals' body language in terms of feeling close and comfortable. Now compare the above with the mermaid empathy. Imagine you are in a sea of water that is love, and that you as this sea are flowing your watery love through the other person. The energy flows into the other's head, down through the body and out the feet as a continuous stream. You may notice a difference between these two procedures. In the first example, when you imagine you are the other person, at every point you still know and feel you are not the other. It is imagination that is making the connection. In the second example, if you identify with the watery love, then you are that love whether or not it is in you or inside of the other person. It is the same energy in two different places or forms. This second empathy often establishes a feeling of oneness between two individuals. In the first example, the other person may actually feel for a little while that you are closer to him than anyone else in the world. In the second example, you can take it even further. You feel the other person is yourself in another form. It is this second kind of empathy that mermaid women possess. They identify with love. This love is of and within nature, and they feel they exist to love. It is not a romantic love that exists between two people. It is loved self, the sea of love encircling the planet, flowing through you without end to everyone around you. In a sense, then, mermaid women are not being psychic when they use their empathy. They are simply feeling anything that their aura touches. Some of them can extend their auras anywhere there is water. The water acts as a medium that enhances sensory perception. If they focus on someone, they can then sense that person anywhere on earth as if the person is right next to them. It is a feeling thing. In order to speak mermaid, feel more with your body and with the vibration of watery love. The world appears in a totally different way to you when you do. Typically, mermaids do not join causes. Abstract ideas have little appeal. They prefer to interact directly with whatever is around them. But when it comes to protecting someone they love, you may witness powers coming into play that are beyond human understanding. Chapter 9, Let's Play. I had a physical therapist who was a mermaid woman, but she concealed her watery nature behind a professional veneer. Around the fifth time we met, I heard explosions of joy in her intonation, pitch, and resonance of her voice. There is the human and the mermaid part of her. If you want to know the mermaid inside of her, become a waterfall and a mountain pool. A mountain pool. Imagine a mountain pool. There is a small waterfall, a gentle spray of drops falling, moisture in the air, sparkling light dancing in the falling drops, the sound of splashing in the pool, small ripples running across the surface, and the water flowing over some rocks as it continues down the hill. Imagine you are the water falling, dropping through the air, splashing, circling in the pool, and then flowing on. Take a few moments to explore those sensations: the falling drops and the cool, splashing water, the sounds and moisture in the air. And note the feeling of purity, release, relaxation, and peace that they awaken. Make this mountain pool a part of you, and love will never be far from you. How to become a mermaid. Merman. I gazed at the sea until I became the sea gazing back at me. At first I thought there are now two of me until I realized I have become the sea wearing the body of a human being. Sea meditation. I am sitting with my feet in the water at Kala Bay on the north shore of Oahu. Before me is the ocean. Follow along with me. Imagine the sea blue-green waves stretching out before us. Study the waves as they come in and break on the sand. Look farther out and see the waves reaching across the horizon to other continents. Imagine how the vast expanse in which the waves circle the earth. Consider the winds driving them, the currents, and the tides. Consider also the north and south poles. Feel the icy winds and the snowy wilderness. Here half the year is spent in darkness. Gaze with your mind upon white cliffs of ice and the icebergs that break free. In slow motion, they drift out to sea. Moving toward the equator, feel the warmth of the moist trade winds. Visualize archipelagos, islands, and island chains. Listen to the thunderstorms at sea. And on clear days sense the moisture rising in the air forming clouds riding on the winds. Send your mind also down into the depths and the ocean trenches. Notice the darkness and silence. All manner of life dwells in the oceans of the earth, in the depths, among the reefs, and islands. Swimming, floating, and drifting, the fish are everywhere in the sea. You can spend a lifetime studying some of them. Imagine a few whales migrating, the spinner dolphins leaping, jellyfish floating, the crab, the manta ray, the shark, the eel, the tuna, swordfish, etc. You can also spend a lifetime scuba diving and discovering new species of fish. But this would never by itself lead to an encounter with the mystery of the sea. To go deeper, feel the energy that underlies the oceans of the earth. It is a magnetic field and its essence is in its receptivity. It sustains and nurtures life. And it responds to its environment by giving all of itself in every moment. Take this final step and imagine and then feel a love that encircles the world. A man asks me, "Can I marry the sea?" Not by magic or ceremony but by love. Let the sea be your consort, the breaking waves her smile and laughter, the roar of the surf her conversation, the spray and white caps her body language. Let the translucent, delicate water as it reaches up and spreads itself out on the white sand her hands as she reaches toward you, as she caresses you skin upon skin, then you shall float among her waves and be as one as you, enter her dreams and taste her ecstasy. To love another, it is to be receptive and attentive, so there is nothing that keeps you apart. If the sea is to be your consort, let her fill you within with a love that has no end, and in return you shall walk among her dreams and persevere until they become reality. Letters regarding mermaids. Question: I began to read your book Undines and found it to be very sensual and a book to be savored rather than devoured. Then my practical side told me that I should be learning something rather than just enjoying the feelings the words evoked. I began reading with this mindset and alas, the beauty, the poetry, the emotions were lost. How did the writer mean for this book to be read? My instincts tell me to let the words carry me along and experience the sensations and emotions your words describe. Otherwise, I think the beauty will be lost. I shall be reading slowly and welcoming each new emotion with an open heart. Response: You touch on a key point. The mermaid women, empaths, do not use thoughts to think. They do not rely on concepts, philosophies, beliefs, etc. When you are with one, that person can simply extend her aura through you and get a clear sense of who you are, the way you live your life, your values, your past experiences, etc. It is a direct perception thing they are doing. To communicate their experiences, I use a lot of art and poetry that evokes their level of perception and sensuality. Art is a useful tool for mankind because it allows an individual to communicate to others what is otherwise intensely private experiences. Without art, some individuals are doomed to be isolated from others. With art, they can share their most intimate experiences. In a similar vein, I have turned to art and storytelling to convey the empathy, love, and sensuality, the inner union with nature that these women embody. And others have brought up your point. It is easy to set forth concepts regarding this mermaid material. But the material is not about concepts and understanding. It is a love that can identify 100% with other people, feel what they feel, care for them the way you care for yourself without any romantic or personal interest motivating the connection. The storytelling I'd uses the genre of fairy tales and mythology. I do that intentionally so it is perfectly clear that beliefs have nothing to do with this discussion. But the skill of empathy is real, as is the ability to experience nature to such an extent that you can in the end, like some of these women, say, nature is embodied in my core, or I am nature. The sea and I are one. I want to thank you for the conversation we had on the airplane when we first met. It reminded me of my graduate work in linguistics and gave me the idea of doing this book that focuses on how mermaids communicate between themselves both in their own realm and when they are in our world. Afterward, most likely your life right now is fine without having a mermaid woman in it. But if one appears, avoid saying these words to yourself: she is something to take, to possess, and to make a part of my life so I am then stronger and feel more complete by owning her. Treat her instead as what she really is. She has the experiences of growing up that any woman has: childhood, parents, caregivers, playing, having fun, going to school, friends, and all the usual traumas and needs of anyone. At the same time, when she looks out of her eyes, she senses love flowing through her out to everyone she meets. She simply cannot stop giving or loving others. You can have a relationship to her. But she has entered the world to teach. Yet she does not use concepts, philosophies, metaphysics, or theologies to teach. She is a stream of living water. The procedure is to experience her love and the way she perceives and gives, and to find that within ourselves. Whether anyone believes in mermaids or not is irrelevant. She herself does not use beliefs to define what she is. She does not think. She feels. She does not love. She is love. This skill of hers to love is observable, and like any skill, it can be learned. A race like ours can only continue for so long to take increasing risks with its technologies and industries that threaten our own survival before our luck runs out. With their love, we learn to conserve and nurture. Without them, we exploit and destroy. The bottom line? If the human race learns their ability to love, we will survive. If we fail, we will cease to exist. Abuse or ignore their love and you put the human race at risk. As I signed my name in one book, I wrote the following lines for the individual: wind, water, rain, may life to you every blessing bring, the earth beneath your feet, may you always walk in peace when you look on high, may the fire in the sky always bring you joy, may every friend last a lifetime and every lover be one of them, when you look into each other's eyes, may you both find every desire satisfied. Appendix A: One way mermaids enter our world. There are many ways mermaids can enter and then live within a human body. Some are born as infants out of the womb just like anyone else. How do they do that? There are 7 major chakra centers in the human body that receive, store, transform, and transmit energy. They are often considered to be located in the spine. The first 5, beginning with the lowest center, are each associated with a different element of nature. The second center, called Swadhisthana, is located in the sacrum area of the spine. As a flower has petals, the second chakra has 6 energy configurations associated with it. Each of these petals embodies different qualities that combine feeling and life force or vitality. If you concentrate on the sacrum at the right point, see wikipedia.org under chakras, Swadhisthana, etc., you may be able to sense the specific petal that produces the element of water. When I concentrate on this area of my spine, I feel my body filling with water. All of the following effects occur simultaneously. First, not only do I feel that my body has filled up with water inside, I also feel, think, and perceive within the vibration of water. One of the mermaid women who surfs gives an example of this. She says she can sense the specific qualities and different kinds of energy in any specific location and set of waves in the ocean. Second, I feel only the present moment exists. Past and future are not somewhere out there. They are here right now, equally present in this moment. Third, I can understand through feeling the extreme receptivity of the sea that in its essence it gives birth to and nurtures life. With this vibration of water within me, I feel it is also my essence to do the same. Fourth, I feel within and a part of anyone I am near. The water that I sense I am extends around me in space. The vibrations within me and the vibrations within other people are very similar. So naturally it is easy for me to feel we are the same. When someone who practices yoga approaches this chakra in an immature way, he may experience feelings such as disdain, suspicion, delusion, a desire to destroy, etc. But this is my point. Exposure to a mermaid woman can overstimulate an individual's second chakra because that individual has now had a huge amount of watery energy suddenly entering his nervous system. What may happen, then, is that the individual's second chakra is not receiving, storing, transforming, and transmitting energy in a positive manner. Instead, the second chakra has become like an electrical wire without its protective coat, and energy leaps wildly about, often in a destructive manner. Or like a whirlpool, power is now present but it is drawing anything nearby into itself rather than transforming and giving through nurturing those nearby. On the other hand, if you gently activate this second chakra within yourself, you can experience the water element as it fills your body from inside. Often those who work with the chakras as part of a spiritual system will try to get through this second chakra the way a race car driver at the Indianapolis 500 Motor Speedway tries to complete the second lap of the race course so he can get onto the third lap. In this case, the yoga practitioner totally misses the opportunity to unite from within to the element of water that has blessed this planet with such beauty. A mermaid can be born within a human body as an infant. She can do so because as her spirit approaches the body in the womb, the fetus fills with the vibration of water. For her, entering this body is then like entering her own realm within lake, river, or sea. In the same way, if a human being thinks, perceives, feels, and loves like a merman or mermaid, then he or she is one. You have reversed the process. You now belong equally to two separate kingdoms. Appendix B. The exact way to tell when you are with a mermaid woman. How can you tell when you are with a mermaid woman? When you are with her, you feel like she is a stream and that you are gravity. Every single movement she makes is shaped by your presence. Once you know what to look for, it is impossible to miss. She is like the snow at the North Pole. It can sit there for 10,000 or 10 million years and still remember the tropical forest that was once there. She is water. That nubile fertility of pure receptivity never disappears. It is in the way she receives your energy. There is no riptide pulling you to where you do not want to go. There is no undertow pulling you down, so you have to struggle to keep your footing on solid ground. There is no tsunami pushing you back with that muddy, choppy tumbling of emotional jealousy or angry demanding. She has no ego, no fear. The desire to take from you never appears. It is impossible for her to feel neglected. She has no human needs. She already feels complete. When you are with her, you feel like you are the sun and she is ice. She willingly melts in the presence of your energy because that is the nature of her beauty. She gives freely without attachment to form or identity. You feel like you are the sun and she is the sea without difficulty. She absorbs your heat, your desires, everything you can imagine or dream. The warmth she radiates at night, her very being testifies to your presence in her life. There is more. When you are with her, you feel like she is a stream and that you are gravity. Every single movement she makes is shaped by your presence. Do not take my word on this. Observe a stream. Memorize its sound, touch, scent, taste, and the way it feels as it flows around your body. And then look at her face as you speak. There is not a trace of distraction. A stream is not more a part of a stream. Gentleness, tenderness, affection. There is a feeling of letting go into the flow and that the two of you have become one soul. She may look, talk, and act human, but I will tell you this, once you discover that this way of being exists, when you experience it again, it is impossible to miss. In summary, her face has that grace, a gift to us like the North Atlantic current. There is the silent peace of the ocean trench, the warm sensuality of a wave breaking on a tropical beach, and the pristine purity of an iceberg breaking free from the glacial plain at the edge of the Arctic Sea. You may not be able to see or feel these things, but when you leave her presence you may well sense for the first time that you are only half alive. Put simply, she does not have a human ego, the desire for attention, self-validation, caution, insecurity. These things may be and often are totally absent. But if you are skilled in reading auras, it is all very simple. There is only one element in her aura: water, and no earth, air, fire, or the fifth element called Akasha. And she has no Akashic body, as in physical, astral, mental, and Akashic or spiritual body. She has no spiritual, Akashic body that oversees and balances the other four elements, because she does not have more than the one element of water. Not having all five elements as human beings have does not make her inferior. She is united to nature at the core of herself, and that in effect makes her an immortal being. She is not subject to astrology and constellations in her natal chart as are human beings. She is water and has always been water and always will always be water, unless through some unusual circumstances she acquires a human soul. All the same, mermaid women learn faster than do human beings, even in areas of technology, if for some reason they should take an interest in it. Another simple way of determining when you are with a mermaid woman as compared, say, to a highly gifted human empath or a psychic is that if you feel her aura flowing through you, then you will sense that you are surrounded by water. Being in her presence is exactly the same feeling, vibration, as being out in nature on the open sea, sitting in front of an ocean bay, a lake, a mountain pool, a stream, a waterfall, etc. And this can be absolutely devastating to experience. An aura of a mermaid woman automatically brings to life whatever she influences. Again, you feel more alive near her and less alive when you leave her presence. In effect, a mermaid woman is part of the realm of mermaids materialized here in our world and embodied in front of you. And the essence of this realm is the ecstasy of bliss, happiness, and love. Yet it is next to impossible to identify one of these women by her appearance. They share no physical, body shape, age, ethnic, racial, religious, socioeconomic traits, or systems of beliefs in common. 62-60, Appendix C, How to See. You look at the picture without thoughts intervening. You contemplate by observing every detail without evaluating. You perceive without referring back to your identity. You gaze until nothing else exists in your awareness but the girl who is before you. Sometimes when I do this, the picture of the woman vanishes and I feel I am out on the open ocean or before a lake. And sometimes I feel like my room is filling up with water and that I am in the ocean. If I look at a picture of a woman that has nothing man-made in it, I can feel with my eyes if the girl is a mermaid. It is learning to see from a state of inner silence. If you can do so, you will notice that the mermaid realm is all around you. They are here as our teachers. They are as close as the air we breathe and the water we drink. But there is a slight trick to it. You have to put aside all selfishness if you wish to proceed. It is the human ego that has prevented us from being aware of their existence. 63-61, About the author. William Mistel graduated from Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois, with a bachelor's degree in philosophy and a minor in economics. At that time, he began studying esoteric, oral traditions. He was interested in finding the best methods on earth for inner work and self-transformation. As part of his field research, he lived in a Tibetan Buddhist monastery in Berkeley, California. He next studied Hopi Indian culture and language at the University of Arizona, where he received a master's degree in linguistics. At that time he became the only accepted student of a Hopi Indian shaman. 64-62, While living in Tucson, Arizona, he began studying the Western Hermetic traditions and the nature religions of Wicca and Druidry. He worked with a number of extremely gifted psychics and parapsychologists whose primary focus was on experimentation and research. He also practiced evocation with a Sufi master. He moved to Hawaii in 1982. There he studied with the relocated abbot of a Taoist monastery that existed for over 2,000 years in China, with a Vietnamese Zen master, and with one of the foremost Tai Chi Chuan masters of China. Since 1975, he has been a steadfast student of the system of initiation taught by the Czech magician Franz Bardon, who died in the 50s. This system has provided the methods for contacting nature spirits and interacting with them in a personal and original manner. Bardon's mission was to offer a system of self-initiation that maximizes the spiritual powers and creativity of the individual. Bardon's training system requires that all students gain first-hand experience with the elemental beings underlying nature. In studying with four mermaid queens on the astral plane, the author discovered through experience just how little human beings have learned about the mysteries of the water element. However, two of the mermaid queens, Istifel and Isfil, promised him that he would meet mermaids who live among us in human form. And they did this so that he could better understand the mermaid race. After putting out a global casting call used by photographers as well as discussing mermaid women on YouTube and his website, he began being contacted by mermaid women from around the world. Send comments to williamestel@yahoo.com. For projects, photography, videos, archives, and additional essays related to mermaids, see williamestel.videopoems.html, facebook.com/williamremestel, youtube.com/mdits, 65, 63.